Thoughts on Luke. Luke chapter 1, verses 34 to 37. God of the impossible. I hope the title conveys something of the point I want to make here. The impossible. And yet God is the God of the impossible. The angel has come to Mary, and he's told her that she's going to bear a son, and the son is going to be the Messiah. Of course, Mary raises the obvious issue, verse 34. Well, this is impossible. You see, I'm not married. I'm a virgin. How can I have a son, you see? It's impossible. That's the point. But the answer from Gabriel, in the name of God, of course it's possible. Because with the Holy Spirit, by God's power, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And by God's power, by God's Spirit, all things are possible. Even this. Of course, it's a tremendous mystery. And where am I depth even talking about it? But God the Spirit could produce this son within Mary, even though, humanly speaking, to the natural mind, absolutely impossible. But that is the Spirit's power, verse 35. The Spirit can overcome impossibility. With God, impossibility doesn't arise in this regard. It's not possible for God to sin. We're told that in Titus. He can't lie, yes. But the fact is, in this area, this matter here, in all these kinds of things, what's impossible to man is altogether possible with God. It's a tremendous encouragement to us. And Mary was given a tremendous encouragement too. Your relative, Elizabeth, you know, she's old, you know her. She's old age, she's a barren. But she's 6 months pregnant now, even as I speak to you. This is what the angel says to her. And the upshot is in verse 37. For nothing. For nothing. See the argument? For nothing is impossible with God. What a tremendous statement to this young, obscure girl, teenage girl possibly, in this obscure village in Palestine 2,000 years ago. The lesson is clear. The lesson is clear. With God, all things are possible in this regard. Let us drop our schemes, brother and sister. We've become so clever in the evangelical world, haven't we? And in the Reformed world too. We've got our systems, we've got our statements, we've got our schemes, we've got our plans, we've got all programs, we've got it all sorted out. We don't really need the Spirit anymore now, do we? We can carry on. But no, my friend. Let us do God's work in God's way, relying upon the Spirit. And only God can do the impossible. And we are talking about the impossible. According to Scripture, conversion, which is regeneration by the sovereign power and work of the Spirit, leads to everlasting life. Today we've replaced conversion. We've watered it down. By our systems, we can accomplish something a little less and we'll make do with that. Instead of conversion, we want conformity. If we can get people to attend and go through some coaching class, and then maybe they'll become conformers. Well, my friend, conversion is essential. And who can convert? Only God the Spirit. Only God the Spirit. We want transformation of life according to the new covenant. We want transformation into the likeness of Christ. We want a permanent transformation, a growing transformation. We want a likeness to Christ. We want to be persevering to the end. Now, who can accomplish that? Only God. Well, we've replaced that now. Once saved, always saved. Once we've gone forward, once we've signed the card, once we've ticked the boxes, well, once saved, always saved. No, my friend, let's get back to impossibilities. The foolishness of preaching, the weakness of preaching, the lowness of our testimony, the smallness of it, in the hand of God what he can do. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Zechariah 4:6. Acts 1:8. Luke 24:49. Wait for the spirit. Wait for the spirit. You've got an impossible task to evangelize the world for Christ. Wait for the spirit. God. Let's get back to God, the Spirit. Get back to the impossible and rely utterly and only upon the Spirit's power.